during the last several communion seasons, you may recall that we have been looking clause by clause in this benediction that is contained in Hebrews chapter 13 in our concluding services of the communion season. It has been our practice as churches before us to prepare for the Lord's Supper. We have practiced that and having a service that enables us to focus our minds upon the duty of preparing for the Lord's Supper. As the Apostle Paul said, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And it's been our custom, after having observed the Lord's Supper and considered Christ and especially his cross, the centrality of the gospel, to conclude with what we call a Thanksgiving service, where, as the name would suggest, we conclude this time lifting up our hearts in gratitude and pointing us forward in the gospel to what is beyond. And so we have considered Hebrews 13, 20 to 21, and we will be closing that short exposition. Let us read these words once again. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. We come now to the final words of Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. In particular, verse 21, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, and so on. Here we have, in the benediction, the purpose, the thrust. What is it that the apostle, as he concludes, what is it that he ultimately prays unto the Lord for? Unto this God of peace. Now, the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work. That's the thrust. That's the purpose. Let God do this unto you, people of God. Let us consider then this benedictive purpose. And benediction is simply another word for word of blessing. Word of blessing. The apostle and the ministers of Jesus Christ do not have it in themselves to give blessing, but they can, as men of faith, call upon the Lord that he might give his blessing to his people, as the Levites of old, who were called upon to bless the people of God. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Well, now here we have this New Testament benediction, and so we look at its benedictive purpose. That word of blessing, its purpose. First, the purpose of this word of blessing, this benediction, it is a church perfecting purpose. A church perfecting purpose. Second, it is a Christ mediating purpose. And we'll explain that further in the moments to come. A Christ mediating purpose. Third and last, a God pleasing and God glorifying purpose. The church perfecting purpose. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. The Lord will bless His people. The Lord will do good to His people. The Lord bless thee out of Zion. We have other benedictions, words of blessing in the New Testament. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. That's the thrust. That's the direction. That's the purpose of this benediction. May your hearts be comforted and may you be established. Or, now the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Incidentally, we can often identify these blessings by the opening words, now, may God. Continuing, now the God of hope fill you. That's the purpose. May God do this. It's not a wish. It's not a bare wish. Have a nice day. No. The ministers of Jesus Christ can give something much, much better, much more dense, much more meaningful, much more lasting. Because whom the Lord blesses is blessed. And we can say to all those who are true believers, whose hearts the Lord have opened like Lydia, to be as empty vessels receiving the blessing of God, when God's ministers, when His servants proclaim the blessing of God, it is more than a wish. And it is more than a prayer. It is a prayer. May God fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. But it's even more than that prayer, which is more than that wish. For all those who have genuine faith, it is a channel by which God, in fact, does good to His people. And God's doing good right now to you, if you have true and sincere faith. Faith alone in Jesus Christ, when God speaks this word of benediction, this word of blessing, when God speaks, it comes to pass. And all that is left for you is to believe it. Will you believe it? Do you wish for blessing to be with you? Do you desire that surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, that you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? Have faith in God. Truly, Jesus says unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the midst of the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe whatsoever he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So God wants to do you good, child of God. Now, if you don't have faith, you are a Simon Magus. You have no part nor lot in this matter. And don't flatter yourselves thinking that God is going to bless you and do you good by his blessing if you do not have faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. So first, as we look at this particular blessing, this benediction, this word of good that God is speaking through His servants to His true people, this is a church perfecting purpose. The saints of God are not yet perfect. They are justified. They are in a perfect standing of righteousness before the Lord because of the doing and dying of Jesus Christ. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Nevertheless, it is the painful experience of the child of God that although she has been forgiven all her sins, although she has been instated into a position of righteousness and acceptance as a son, as a daughter of God, and although the back of sin has been broken in his or her life, sin shall have no more dominion over you, yet the reality is that there is an ongoing struggle until the end of the Christian's days in his progress of becoming more and more like Jesus. It's not a straight upward march. The child of God is frequently overtaken by sin, by temptation. Deceived by Satan, surprised by his own lusts. It's possible for some children of God to become so resistant to the Lord's grace, like King David was, that he could commit such unthinkable sins and cover it up and seemingly be at peace for an entire year until Nathan comes in and tells his parable and says, "Thou art the man." It's possible. It's possible for Christians in the midst of the struggle to fall into serious sins. And even when Christians don't fall into them, they can have mighty struggles. Sometimes falling into the deceitful sleep of carnal security and presumption. Jesus had to say to some, did he not? You have a name that you live, but behold, you are dead. Remember your first love. Remember from where you have fallen and repent. Let's face it. The Christian life is not a smooth and easy path to heaven. We struggle. We fail. We have not yet arrived. Paul said, not as though I had attained. Now, if you think you've attained, that you're somehow greater than the Apostle Paul, then you're deceiving yourself. If Paul hadn't attained in this life, then certainly you have not either, Christian. You're not yet perfect. You've not yet passed into the presence of Jesus. You've not yet become a sinless in heaven. But this is the purpose of God, that you should be made perfect. Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will. The language here of making perfect is language that involves the idea of putting together. Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. I think of a home or a house builder who puts it all together. Everything before is in pieces and disorganized and seemingly in chaos. But then the builder puts it all together. It's all connected. It's all in its right place. Symmetrical, supporting all the different parts and being beautified. Well, that's what God is doing by his word of blessing. Even now, he's perfecting you. read in Psalm 138 a little earlier, didn't we? The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. He's going to put it together. Sometimes we try to put things together and we just muck it up. We make it worse than it was before. And so we come to the Lord's Supper and Jesus most mercifully says, now let me put it together. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Sometimes the word has the sense of fixing, putting back together what had been together but had fallen apart. Matthew 4:21, and going on from thence, Jesus saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, fixing them, putting them back together. The Lord loves to do this. Yes, Christian, he has not perfected you yet, but you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He's perfecting you. He's working that grace in you to make you to desire more and more and to be more and more successful in every good work to do his will. And so no Christian should be overwhelmed by despair. To you, the word of the Lord comes to you as it did to Zerubbabel. Even the mountain before you shall become as a plain. Have faith in God. You cannot perfect yourself. You cannot fix yourself, mend yourself. You cannot, in your own strength, do any good. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. But abide in me, and I in you. That's the purpose of God, a church perfecting purpose, a saint perfecting purpose. Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will. Second, consider here the Christ mediating purpose. Now mediating is a word that suggests one who goes in between to bring two together. Two who were at odds, he brings them together. Christ is the bridge, if you will, that spans between the two distant land masses. He is the mediator. There is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And everywhere we see, especially in the revelation of the New Testament, Christ is the way to God. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. There's no way for us to receive the good of God. There's no way for us to receive the sanctifying graces of God that enables us to be more patient, to be pure and clean, to overcome those temptations to sin by looking at unclean things, to be disciplined, self-controlled, to be resourceful and hardworking and not lazy, to be cheerful and not dark and morose, to be content and not murmuring and complaining, to be full of praise to the Lord and jealously standing for his truth. How can we be made perfect? In every good work, not just some, but every one of them, not just three or four commandments, but all 10 of them. And not just at the surface level, but the deep sense of what the commandments mean, that the law of God, Romans 8, should be fulfilled in us. There's no way for us to be made perfect in every good work to do his will, except through Jesus Christ. We receive no blessing, no spiritual blessing, apart from Jesus Christ. This principle is seen even before redemption in creation itself. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning of the world, God, Ephesians 3:9, created all things by Jesus Christ. And that pattern of God performing his work and giving his blessing through the Word, through the Son, through Jesus Christ, he frames and forms the world. So after that pattern, the Lord perfects his church, perfects Christians who come broken to the Lord's Supper. To one who is able to put everything together and who is willing to put everything together. And even though he's not doing it as fast as we might like, he is that master painter who can't be rushed. Oh, Christian, you get impatient with your struggle against sin, and it seems as though holiness is just a few steps beyond your reach. And that's a good impatience, but just remember that the good master can't be rushed. He's working on you. He's perfecting you. He's putting it together. The God of peace is doing this through Jesus Christ. And so this principle of God working through the Son is seen also in salvation. Romans 5:21. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. How did we receive the Holy Spirit? Titus 3:6. He shed the Holy Ghost on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. It is only through the hand of Christ that we receive blessing. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good will work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Third and last, we have here a church perfecting purpose, a Christ-mediated purpose, third and last, a God-pleasing and God-glorifying purpose. Why does God do this? Why does he bother? Why does he bother to take this masterpiece that was vandalized and defaced and left in a dusty old room for years with mildew and mold and insects. Why does he take this broken masterpiece and perfect it? Well, he does it for himself. Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the purpose. It's for the glory of God. It has pleased the Lord to save a people. It has pleased the Lord to purchase and to redeem them. But he has not redeemed them simply to make them happy in this life or even in the world to come. Although he is pleased to make you happy. And he wants you happy in a way that you could never even imagine. However, that's not the highest end. The end of all things is the glory of God. For of him and to him and through him are all things, to whom be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, so that the master can look and he can see what he has done. And he can receive the praise and the honor and the glory. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory and honor and power. And worthy is the one who is seated on the glory, glory be to him forever and ever. So that as we come to the supper of the Lord, as we are reminded of his precious death, the surrender of his own life for our sakes, and as we receive nourishment by faith, though he is not there in a physical way, as some vainly believe, he is, and he was, spiritually and really there to our faith. And so he has strengthened us, and he continues to strengthen us by that nourishment, that we should grow in grace so that we can become more accomplished, more developed, more mature, even perfected in every good work to do his will, so that we may be more and more like his son, Jesus, who is well-pleasing in his sight. So that God will be pleased with us through Jesus Christ, and so that he will receive all the credit and the glory. Not to us, Lord, not to us, but do thou glory take unto thy name, even for thy truth and for thy mercy's sake. Christianity is the greatest thing that has ever happened to mankind. It has saved, it has redeemed, it has exalted mankind. After every other system and philosophy has failed. And yet, although Christianity is the most humane system, it looks beyond to the glory of God. And so the Christian is redeemed, and the Christian is, by his grace, perfected, so that he may glorify God as a Christian. Jesus did not hold back anything for you. Will you hold back anything for him? Will you not give everything for him? For his honor, for his glory. Will you not walk in this world with that one theme echoing and re-echoing in your mind and in your heart? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Not because you're being driven and forced to, but because you want to. You don't want to live for yourself anymore. You don't want to live for others in the final analysis anymore. You want to live for God. You want to live for Jesus. And so you'll surrender everything for him, for his glory. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now the Lord does not only want this for you. If you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ, he is doing more than wishing. And he is certainly not praying. He is blessing. Receive now his blessing. Receive his word of good that he gives to you. Receive it in faith. Do not doubt. And may the God of peace make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Blessed God, we extol thee and give thee thanks for Christ and what he has done. And, O Lord, we pray that thou would perfect us. Bring us to the finish line. Enable us to run the race that is set before us, to take up the cross, to follow the Lord, to cut off even the right hand, to pluck out even the right eye. If so, it must be that we might obtain the goal, knowing, Lord, that he has done all and is doing all in and through us by the work of his word and spirit. Show us thy grace, we pray thee, in and through thy Son.